In December last year, the Productivity Commission released its report into Australian superannuation, and the findings, along with continued reports from the Royal Commission into banking, stand to change the nature of superannuation in Australia. However, given the notoriously bad behaviour of some of the larger super funds, the question remains, will Aussies be better off? Daniel Ellison spoke with Eric Kollmeyer, financial planner with 33 years' experience, and started by asking him why the Productivity Commission put so much stock into the proposed best-in-show super funds.
I don't want to get into the area of recommending one super fund over another, but when you look at the Productivity Commission findings and the suggestion of having a best-in-show, it doesn't work, because what they've done is they've taken a look at past performance from a variety of different funds in order to come up with this concise list. The only thing about making an investment, though, Daniel, is that past performance is no guarantee of future performance. And you're not going to do anything other than possibly enter into particular funds at the current market price, whatever those funds are priced at, which may be a fair market price or, heaven forbid, overpriced. In other words, what you could be entertaining are assets that are not going to give you that much more growth. In fact, it could go south. So to suggest the idea of a best-in-show in terms of past historical performance, you can't do that. It doesn't work out. What the Productivity Commission should be carefully paying attention to is simple economics, and this report just doesn't do it.
Anyone who has seen an ad for superannuation recently will have heard the disclaimer that past performance should not be seen as an indicator of future performance. So, Eric, what then is the rationale for the Productivity Commission touting best-in-show funds when this is clearly based upon past performance?
Quite frankly, this isn't the first time that we've seen this. We've also seen this from Chris Bowen and Julie Gillard during the Gillard Prime Ministership, where a similar sort of utterance came to the conclusion that if we could squash the fees a bit, then someone would walk away with about $40,000 more in their superannuation fund over a lifetime. This goes down the path of saying, well, $500,000 or something like that over a lifetime. Well, over a lifetime is from what, the age of 20 to 65. The rationale to me should be on sound economics and proper guidance and the requirement. And I think that advice should be made more available to people at an affordable price, as opposed to coming up with a sales pitch, which is fairly second rate from an entity which is known as the Productivity Commission. And that's literally what the Australian public are being told to swallow. And that's just wrong. It is just plain wrong.
One of the figures to come out of this commission was an extra $535,000 added value in a super account for a worker that would be entering the workforce today. But given the cost of living is rising in line with wages, do you think that that would actually represent a real increase?
No. And look, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, for goodness sake, if we take on board the cost of living over a lifetime, no, the answer is no. That's just nonsense. It's just absolute, utter drivel. It is wrong. No, I not completely agree with you with your commentary. If you took on board the cost of living, well, what good is $500,000 to a 20-year-old in 45 years' time?
Another recommendation was that self-managed super funds should only be opened with a minimum balance of $500,000. Do you agree with this?
From an accounting practice point of view, which we do run an accounting practice, we ask clients to have at least $250,000. Mathematically, they would be far better off to actually consider the idea of a self-managed super fund. The idea of lifting the threshold to $500,000 is purely and simply for one reason and one reason only. There is a massive amount of money being held under self-managed superannuation funds, and retail super funds and industry funds are, quite frankly, have been lobbying government because they're losing market share. People are waking up to the fact that they can get a better deal through a self-managed arrangement. There should be a minimum requirement, but not at $500,000. It should kick off, I would suggest, at $250,000. and anything less than that is not worthwhile. But to suggest 500,000 is purely and purposefully, once again, for market share. And, you know, to bring out figures like that, which are very, very questionable because it speaks to motive, and the motive is quite simply that government doesn't like these ideas, the idea of self-managed super funds, because they're being lobbied hard by those with vested interest in both the industry fund sector and the retail super fund sector. I think people should be considering self-managed super funds. It's not for everybody, but people should consider the idea of a self-managed fund. I've got no hesitation in saying that. But the threshold value should not necessarily be 500,000. You can run it quite successfully with lower numbers at 250,000 minimum, because a self-managed super fund charges fees. You might pay an accountant and an auditor a fee for it, but it's a flat dollar fee. It's not a percentage of your total fund.
And for those who don't have self-managed super funds, do you believe that there's a practical alternative to all of this that would make a real difference to Australians and their superannuation?
If they were sincere in terms of approach, they would adopt recommendation number 18 and recommendation number 19 from the Henry Tax Review, which actually spoke of, and mind you, this was during the Rudd Swan years, when Wang Swan was Treasurer, Kevin Rudd was the Prime Minister. At the end of the day, that recommendation 18, spoke of the elimination of a contributions tax of 15%. When you and I make a contribution into super, or our employer does, if we do it, it's called salary sacrificing. We lose 15% of that contribution in the form of a contributions tax. Ken Henry's suggestion, recommendation 18, was to remove that and allow the magic of compound interest to work. Recommendation number 19 reflected on lowering the earnings tax. This is the tax that the fund would actually be obliged to pay at the rate of 15%, to lower that to 7.5%. Now, if you did that, just those two items, and you allowed the magic of compound interest to work, you would have more in terms of outcome. That's practical tax reform from a retirement planning viewpoint, not this convoluted drivel that's come out as a sales pitch. It's just preposterous of any government to try this on the Australian public. I wish politicians would be far more honest and actually look at the reforms that were recommended under the Henry Tax Review, which the Australian taxpayer did pay for. It did pay for, and it's not being followed. Ken Henry, the former Treasury Secretary, was very astute in basically making that recommendation for a root branch overhaul of the entire tax system, not just super, but quite frankly, that's what needs to occur. Not a bloody sales.
Yeah, Eric Kollmeyer of CK Partners there, speaking with Daniel Ellison.